Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Man, you know, I love it. Everyone gets fired up for the relationship series, except the pastors. We take a beating. You guys might think it's funny, but it's like, oh, I don't need my wife and the devil whooping on me. And then my mom's in town. That's like a triple trifecta beat down. She's like, you know, my mom last night, you used to be way more empathetic. But if you don't know my mom, John, her husband John, stand up. Doesn't my mom look beautiful? She's 100 years old today. She's gorgeous. I'm just joking. She's had to put up with my shenanigans for a long time, and she still looks good. I think that puts a little fierceness in her. I don't know if they make women like they used to. I'm telling you, my grandma, piece of work. My mom, watch out. It's so amazing. Look at all these babies. At least some people are committed to building the church. Thank you. Worship was off the chain. Man, incredible. Pastor Darren Elliott gave an incredible word at the 9 a.m. And I'm telling you. Podcast it. I'm going to rip some stuff off and use it in about 2 minutes. I was like, that's so good. I'm going to preach it. He gave me permission. He ripped it off of the Holy Spirit. Man, check this Bible out. You know what? This Bible inspires me. Because I was taking such a beat down from the devil last night. I'm going to find the biggest Bible I can find. And I'm going to preach from the biggest word I could get because it's going to hurt today, devil. Speaking of that, I want to play a video because I was inspired by a big Bible. So let's watch this video.
Oh my goodness. Becky, look at her Bible. It is so huge. She looks like one of those preacher guys' girlfriends. But who understands those preacher guys anyway? They only talk to her because she looks like Mother Teresa, okay? I mean, but look at it, it's just huge. It's gross. She just looks so righteous.
I like big Bibles and I cannot lie. You Christian brothers can't deny that when a girl walks in with a KJV and a bookmark in Proverbs, you get stoked. Got a name engraved so you know this girl is saved. It looks like one of those large ones with plenty of space in the margins. Oh, baby, I want to read with you because your Bible's got pictures. My minister tried to console me, but that book you got makes
me so holy.
Ooh, mama mia, you say you want koinonia? Well, bless me, and teach me about John Wesley. I saw her praying while I was DJing. She got grace, pretty face. She ain't going down to the bad place. I'm tired of heathen guys saying they like pocket size. That's the average Christian to take a look. She got a pack much book. So fellas,
yeah,
fellas.
Yeah.
Come on, yeah, come on. For all you new people, I just want you to come back. If you didn't know, you can have fun in church, people. I just want to help bust off all those religious spirits. Me so holy. Listen, it's true. If you can't, I grew up the frozen chosen. Presbyterian, Baptist, mixture, I don't know what I was. But when I met Pastor Juergen, I kept thinking he was offending God every Sunday. But the truth was, he was only offending me. Because I had so much religiosity stored up in me. It's a good thing to have fun. And worship team, you can go, otherwise I'll probably ruin all my funny jokes this morning. But come back. Come back for sure. You guys are amazing. Thank you. Come on. How funny is that video, though? Oh my gosh. I think that's so old. I can't believe it's probably skipped a generation. Dude, this Bible is big. It's really helping my vision out. It's pretty funny. Listen, I will say that, you know, the word this morning, sometimes you got to have a little fun to be able to receive a word because, you know, we live in a generation where marriage is such a funny thing right now. And Pastor Darren Elliott, you know, he showed pictures of his family and his kids, you know, 18 and 20, and then he said they were both virgins, and you felt the wind get sucked out of the room. It's like the sacred word. He was bragging on his kids, but we're so conditioned to be Christianese. He says the word virgin, and people freak out. I mean, inside. But it's funny, my kids are 3 and 5. They're both virgins. I grew up embarrassed to say that word, you know? He was mentioning that a lot of people say it around Christmas time. You'll get that joke, it will land. But it's amazing to be brought up in a culture where everybody was hush-hush. And my biggest pet peeve with church was Christianese. I mean, I was the black sheep of my family for a reason. I couldn't fake it. I just wanted to be real. Still today, I can't fake it. I told Pastor Jurgen, do not ordain me. I don't want you to lose your congregation because I'm going to say some truths they might be. And he's like, no. We're preaching the truth. And we're not going to preach it on a Sunday and live different on a Monday. And then I said, I can follow a pastor like that. I could submit to a pastor like that. I've been my own boss, well, besides my wife and my mom. I've been my own boss in business for most of my life. And yet then you go to work for the church, and it's easy to submit someone that lives it 24/7, 365. I can't honor Pastor Jurgen and Leanne enough because they're not faking this life. They're not faking this Christianity, you see. This church isn't a bunch of masks, and especially if I'm going to be the pastor over North Campus. We're going to go after the sacred cows, and we're going to crush them. So sometimes when you go after sacred cows, people get a little uncomfortable. So just tap your neighbor and say, if you're going to squirm, it's okay. We're going to have fun tonight, today. Tonight, we're really going to have fun. My wife and I, talk about spiritual warfare. We had a couple. The couple wouldn't even, they're like leaders in our church. They didn't want to agree to doing the panel because they've been under such marriage spiritual attack. And I said, I'm going to pray for the dude because he was trying to fold like a deck chair. And his wife showed up to women's prayer. And they took a stand. And literally, I never said a word to him. The Holy Spirit said, we'll be there Sunday night. And then her sister-in-law died. And so they aren't able to be here tonight. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. The devil's going to do whatever he can to train wreck a marriage series. It's amazing. You know, there's our men's emerge guys. We got to be praying for all the merge leaders. We had two of the head leaders that, man, were just kind of butting on heads on stuff. And they got together in prayer, and God showed up. The Holy Spirit showed up and took the, you know, if you will, the wound away and watched two guys get healed. That could have disintegrated a men's ministry, and here we are going after 1,600 men because marriages get healed, restored, set free, no matter how bad or broken they are. I've seen them. And it's amazing. The two key leaders are sitting there going head to head, and then God showed up. But it's amazing, one of them, Jeff Forbes, on the way home, gets rear-ended right after this meeting, gets slammed. The woman, crazy woman, if you're here, we'll forgive you. She took off, bumper hanging, radiator spewing, and he's just like, what the heck? Man, the enemy's mad. He gets out, looks at his car, not a scratch on it, because he's claiming no weapon formed against me will prosper. So then he called the other emerge leader and said, you won't believe how ticked off the enemy that, you know, he couldn't get in and divide emerge. That's the same thing with marriage. You know, the first thing God created was marriage, that he said, all right, this is good. Yeah. You know, Adam hung out with God every day in the Garden of Eden, and he knew something was missing. So he created a helpmate, a woman in his life. And then he said, oh, man, this looks good. So did Adam. But it's amazing. So, you know, the enemy hates God. So he's going to do whatever he can to hurt God. You know how he does it? If we could just split marriages up. It's the biggest wound to our Heavenly Father. He said, marriage is good. We're meant to be together. But the devil works overtime to try to mess that up. So we're going to work overtime on the other side right now. So I want to preach to you just out of Ecclesiastes 10:10, the NLT. And I love it because what's cool is we can get Old Testament wisdom with New Testament revelation. And Pastor Darren preached an incredible word just talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Gifts are free. Fruit, you got to work for. I mean, no, fruit takes, you know, if you're going to have a vineyard, it's going to take 3 years before that first crop comes. If you're really smart, you'll cut off the first fruits. Wait till the next year, the grapes will be even better. Some people can't wait. The fruits are a process. It's pretty amazing. But let me read this. Using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. Let me read you another translation, New King James Version. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then you must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Out of my devil beater. The whoop down sword right here says this. If the iron becomes dull, though at first he made easy progress, he must increase his efforts. But the craftsman has the advantage of his skill. We're going to give a little skill today. Take a little. Don't break my pulpit. But the title of my message is, I Married an Axe Sharpener. See, it was amazing. I had a good weekend getaway with my beautiful bride. This is easy to preach because I don't just read something. I live this, just so you know. You know, my poor mom was wondering if I was going to preach this morning after last night, hellfire and brimstone. You know, but the devil comes in. You know, back in the day, actually, this is mild. When we first got married, in the first year, my wife would throw shoes that would stick in the wall. It was amazing. Call my pastor and be, is this normal? He said, God gave you the land. You better start, you know, pulling the weeds out. Because sometimes when the treasure is in the land, we got to go dig and get that treasure out. I'm telling you, my wife isn't the same woman I married that first year. She's amazing. You're right. 3 days, 5 days, chasing me down. I have stories. We're going to talk about a lot of funny things tonight. We're going to air it out for all of you. So I'm not preaching from a place of, oh, I got a word and I have this epic marriage. No, I put the work in. What you see is what you get after sowing the work in and doing this. And last night, it wasn't all my wife. It was me, so I'm sorry, baby. You know, I had some pain going on. I had some other stuff going on. And it's just the devil. It's the perfect storm. He'll use the perfect storm to try to get us irritated. Then I didn't feel well. This is how I knew it was spiritual warfare. I started getting under major pain. Then suddenly I was getting nauseous. I even reached out to Pastor Darren Elliott and I said, you might have to preach the 11. And then my wife and I are at odds against each other. Then she was telling me I was the gluteus maximus. And if you put that in the Urban Dictionary, it will tell you what she really said. And I was thinking to myself, what is going on? But all I could see was how mad I was. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to get my message dialed in. And you know, it's like, you know, she has a sign up. You know, some call it nagging. I call it constructive learning. Well, I met with this new financial advisor and he goes, hey, we're going to develop another company for your wife. I go, great. Well, she consults you, doesn't she? And I go, You know, I guess. Well, some husbands call it nagging. We're going to call it consulting. I'm like, she can get paid for that? Oh, we're going to be rich. I don't mean that by nagging, but it was funny. Good write-offs, people. This guy was creative. Why do I tell you this? Here's three few thoughts I got out of even last night. Oh, I forgot to tell you the funniest part when I finally had the revelation of a spiritual warfare. So all this stuff is happening. And then all of a sudden, I get this text message. It said, by the way, is your car still for sale? So I was like, oh, well, I was selling my Jeep. I don't think it's still up anymore, but yes, it is. Great, I'd love to see it. No problem. Yeah, my boyfriend broke up with me and took both our cars, so I don't have a car. Now, sympathy. Empathy, Mom. I felt bad for the girl. So I'm like, sure, I'll let you know. Well, I'm working a new job, so I'm saving the money, but in a few weeks, maybe you can work out some deal with me. Sounds reasonable, no problem. Very empathetic. So then the text message comes back, here's a picture of me and the car, my husband, or my fiance, whatever it was, took for me and broke up with me. So now she's playing the breakup card. Here's a picture of me, a cute girl leaning on her hood. She was clothed. But I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's so weird that she'd send me a picture. But oh yeah, she's cute. I definitely gotta help her now. You know, it's like, look at the car the boyfriend took. Someone's like, yeah, he's an idiot. No problem. Let me know. And then she goes, well, actually, I do some shows online. This is no joke. You could read my phone. I just figured last night when my wife's already mad at me, it's not the appropriate time to tell her what's going on with this text thread. I was already in the doghouse, okay? I'm not an idiot. So no joke, I reached out to Nick Unsworth, accountability partner, like a wisdom should show, going, bro, check out this thread I'm in right now. So the curiosity and, you know, very pastoral of me, of course I want to listen. I'm sure, okay, she goes, yeah, bottom line is, I don't have to go on show for a while, but I can do a little private one, give you a free ticket, and it will help me. You can give me a review, and I get paid based on reviews, and if you get more reviews, I can save my money faster and buy your car quicker. I mean, it makes perfect sense. You guys think I'm joking. This happened last night when I figured out this is spiritual warfare I'm in. I'm mad at my wife. She's saying interesting things to me. I can't prepare my message. And some random person texts me, a victim, feel bad for me. Oh, woe is me. Come check out my peep show. So, I did want to go help her get a review, but I didn't. But I'm telling you, how many men would have? I just want to tell you the penny dropped that was spiritual warfare. I immediately started praying, started battling, sat there, and I wasn't going to stop praying until I felt it lift. Let me tell you, that knot in my stomach where I was nauseous went away when I started praying. Why wouldn't I have thought of that? Because it's amazing what deception is. The devil deceives every single one of us here. I'm just thinking I'm nauseous because of the pain in my back, but no. It was the enemy throwing everything he could to make sure I didn't preach this message at the 11 o'clock. So does anyone know I was a little upset last night? There was a fire that got in my belly. I woke up this morning, I said, devil, you're getting a beat down. I'm gonna find the biggest Bible I can. I'm gonna speak straight truth. I'm not gonna water it down. Some people are gonna get uncomfortable. Guess what? It's okay. So, don't get the Bible wet. So here's three thoughts around this verse. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. Ecclesiastes 10:10. The title of my message is, I married an axe sharpener. And the few thoughts that I had around this are two. Number one, we are supposed to have an axe in our hand, every one of us. So my question is, what's your axe? Number two, it's either a sharp or a dull axe. Which one is yours? And number three, revelation out of the scripture, God wants us to be successful. You know what the question is? There isn't one. God tells us what to do. He says, get wisdom. Wisdom brings success. Two thoughts, two questions. The third thought, he already answered for us. He says, wisdom will bring you success. So what's wisdom? So we're gonna get into what's wisdom. See, I love this because Solomon wrote this book, and he's saying if a man doesn't sharpen his edge, he will have to add some sort of strength. The more dull it is, the more strength you got to use. Right. Yeah. And so it's funny, as a man, we kind of get stubborn. We'll just keep clanging that thing. I think it could be as dull as the knife I used last night to cut something. I never cut it. So I just ripped that thing, and then it looked horrible. But why didn't I just set the thing down and go get a sharper one? just a question I have. It's amazing because we will have to add strength in order to accomplish the goal. They called it whetting in the King James Version, but it means sharpening the edge, allowed the blade to penetrate deeper into the wood with less strength. It helps accomplish the goal without much effort. So Solomon's pretty much given us the illustration of what needs to happen in our life towards anything that we're doing, success in anything. This is my focus, is marriage. It's the number one thing that pains me, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But God's given us a lot of things to do in life. In order to accomplish these things, God's given us instructions. He's given us wisdoms. He's given us an entire book, some bigger than others. And it's just an instruction manual, and if we use it, fantastic. And then in the New Testament, he gives us grace to handle everything he's going to give us. See, Solomon didn't have the Holy Spirit at the time. Jesus came, laid down his life for us, went to sit at the right hand of God, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, what Pastor Darren preached on today, came to equip us to give us wisdom, discernment, gives the gifts of the Spirit. But if we don't receive those gifts, operate in those gifts, use those gifts, we're not going to see the fruit of the Spirit like we were hoping to. And it's the fruit that matters. So in James 1:5, it says this. I love it when I hear my little girl's voice saying, they learned this in church a few months back, and she goes, she just says a little verse every day, and it's so cute. But James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. He gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him or her. All we have to do is ask. The New Living Translation says, if you need wisdom, ask generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So how do we get wisdom? Here's a couple quick tips. One, the Word of God, prayer. Men, we're on Tuesday, 6 a.m. Women, Thursday. We had 75 dudes last week putting the flex on, little devil beat down. We're not coming here hearing each other cry about everything going on in our life. We're here to get equipped, powered up. It's like the last samurai. That's the best analogy I can give it. And then they come in. Maybe they don't know what they're doing, but they leave the last samurai. Then they go straight over to Gladiator. Some leave 300. I'm nervous for the rest of the world. But and then the third one is through the counsel of those who are wise. Yeah, that's great. Not just counsel. It's amazing how many people I talk to, they're like, yeah, just been getting some marriage advice. From who? Right. Well, they've been, you know, they tell me who. I'm like, yeah, they've been divorced a bunch of times. Yeah. When I get divorced, I'm going to ask them for their attorney. You know what I mean? I'm not. But if I'm going to ask them advice, I'm going to ask them divorce advice, not how to stay married advice. Fruit of the Spirit. It's amazing that it's not to be offensive, it's just to be truth. And number four is the Holy Spirit. Do you know the voice of the Holy Spirit? So when we get God's wisdom, things start to look different. So here's the reality. I want to paint this reality. Here's some real stats right off Google, out of the latest Bureau 2016. You ready for this? It's just to show you, because we can't be a church that's in denial. That's the number one thing that ticks me off is denial. Man, we come in and we think just because, oh yeah, we go to the church, everyone's gonna have the peachiest marriage. You know what Christians do is better than anybody? Is just put the Christianese on and pretend everything's okay. Not here. Oh, that's probably my phone making all that noise. Oh, babe, I'll talk to you later. Thank you. I was just making sure it wasn't that girl again. Could you imagine? Unbelievable. I'll give everyone her number afterwards, and only women. I'm not gonna. So listen to the stats. Most people already know that 50% of marriages work out. So could you imagine 50% of this room will be divorced? Makes it a reality. When you break that number down by the marriages, here it goes. 41% of first marriages end in divorce. 60% of second marriages end in divorce. 73% of third marriages end in divorce. Divorce facts. In America, there is one divorce approximately every 36 seconds. That's nearly 2,400 divorces per day, 16,800 divorces per week, and just under 1 million divorces per year. Yet, is the church talking about it? Divorce facts. The average length of a marriage that ends in divorce is 8 years. How many people over 8 years right now? Can I get a raise of hands? Just give yourself a little round of applause. You beat the average. Come on. Where's my 7-year marriages? Any 7 years? Start praying for them right now. Lord, see their hands. Come on, we got you. We got you. Okay, 7. We're believing. Be at prayer on Tuesday, men. Funny, not funny. People wait an average of 3 years after a divorce to remarry. How many of you know that the church isn't talking about generational curses? How many know the church doesn't really stand around and talk about soul ties? That every person that you've been intimate with is a soul tie, unless you've broken that soul tie. So every time you go into a new marriage, there's a soul tie, unless you've broken that soul tie. Are you sure that's in the Bible? Well, we can meet afterwards. But I promise you, you don't want soul ties in your new marriage. Or he was bragging about his kids. His kids don't have soul ties. Why aren't we talking about the virgin card? I'm going to get V cards made up. I'm going to give them out. They're going to be made out of gold. I'm going to take it from you. If I hear any shenanigans in youth is going on. But what I'm saying is, it's a virtue that the church isn't talking about. They're not proud of that V card. But I'm telling you, soul ties is a powerful thing that we need to be talking about. We need to be addressing it. We need to be praying for it. We do need to be going there as the church. Check this out. 79, statistics of likelihood of divorce. If your parents are happily married, the risk of divorce decreases by 14%. All you young couples, you're either having kids or you already have kids. You've already given them a 14% chance just by staying married. That's why you got to fight for it. People want to marry until they're over the age of 25 to 20, are 24% less likely to get divorced. Living together prior to getting married can increase the chance of getting divorced by 40%. And how many of you go, no, we're going to live together, try it out. You know, it's like driving a car. They give you all the good stuff. Yep, stats say 40% more likely to get divorced. Here's the one that pisses me off. Sorry, Mom, I know you hate that word. This is one that really upsets me. This one really makes my pastoral blood thrive right here. Ready for this? The Barna Research Group measured divorce statistics by religion. Oh, boy. They found 29% of Baptists are divorced. They're the highest in the U.S. But that's not what ticks me off. This is the next one. While only 21% of atheists and agnostics were divorced, they were the lowest. Tells me we got a fake Christianese culture going on. We got a bunch of people that check the box saying, I go on a Sunday, but they're not living the principles. And you better just not believe in anything or don't believe in a God. You got better chances. But that's not what the Bible says. It just lets me know that we got to be a generation that's actually reading the Word of God, learning how to get our prayer voice on, sending our men to emerge to get equipped. But why is that stat like that? Because there is such a thing as called spiritual warfare. That's the difference. The devil's not going to attack when he's like, oh, they're harmless. They don't even believe in God. But you get these young couples that get sold out for church, pressing into church. They want to pray together. They want to do all these things together, but the devil comes in trying to do a beatdown. And yet we're not equipped to how do we fight back. But that's what I want to talk about today. So what is your axe? What has God called you to step into? See, God infuses strength for those that have intention. So are you intentional about your marriage? Are you intentional about your relationship? Are you intentional? Like Pastor said earlier, have you written the list of the attributes you're looking for in a wife or a husband, and then you flip yourself on the other side and be like, but am I that guy that can attract that girl? Flip the script. When you set intention for something, God's going to give you strength. You're sharpening your axe. You know, I love it. I have so many people that tell us how lucky we are. Oh, you're so lucky. You're so lucky. Two great, amazing kids. You're so lucky. What a beautiful wife. How'd she pick you? You kidding me? She was dating four dudes. But I woke up with a sharp axe. I walked up with a sharp axe. I walked up with a sharper axe than every one of those. They were child's play. And she used to look at me because I was way older than all the other dudes. And they all had it together, good looking, better, it doesn't matter. I knew my list. Right when I met her, I said, that's the girl for me. But now I had to get myself in alignment of the things that do. You know, it's amazing. I did all these amazing things, but I love when Pastor Juergen says, you know all the things you did to get the girl or the things you got to do to keep the girl? So it was amazing. I felt bad for all those other clowns, but I'm the one that walked away. And I used to say, don't worry about it. Yeah, let them take you to dinner. I'll meet you afterwards. Save me $50, why don't you? Keep doing that as long as possible. And she would. She'd go out to the dinner, go out to movies, and right when they get dropped off, I'd roll right up. One guy tried hovering. Boy, he was not happy. Crushed his, you know, what was he, a jet pilot or something? Oh, yeah, poor guy. Is he saved yet? We need to pray for him. But I'm just telling you, I knew in my spirit the type of guy I was, and the cream always rises to the top. If you're a poser, you will be exposed. And it's amazing because we forgot the art of dating and honoring. And people get so Christianese about it, they just don't want to date. God's going to show me. Bro, you better get some skills. I'm glad God's going to show you. Doesn't mean she's going to say yes. Are you sharpening your axe? And I'm just talking to the people that are dating. You know, luck stands for living under correct knowledge. That's how lucky I am. That's an acronym, by the way. What are you trying to be great at? Here's a revelation. I have people all the time say, hey, how do you be more successful? They don't ask me why I have an awesome marriage. They want to know, how do you become more successful? It's usually affiliated to money. Or they want to ask me, how I got such a beautiful bride? How do I got so amazing kids? They don't want to know the disciplines. Right. You know, they want to know how I got the outcome of a great skill or a thing, but they don't want to know the journey I took to get there. There's a journey with that. There's a process with everything. It's biblical. There's a season. There's sowing and reaping. There's seed time and harvest. It's amazing that we still got to be dating our wives. If you want to, you know, I love it when Pastor Juergen says, you know, my wife is a product of my husbandry.
Yeah, true.
So if she's coaching me, consulting me, nagging it, whatever you want to call it, what's my husbandry like to get that way? Wow. You know, they want to know, how can I own a house? They don't want to know the disciplines it took to get the house. Yeah. You know, if you don't do the work to become great, you're not even striking the axe that God gave you. Who cares if it's sharp or not? You got to do the work. That's striking the axe. So what's your axe? What do I need to become? A better husband, a better father, a better man. I don't need more leaders. Everyone's like, what's the greatest leadership book you're reading? I don't need more great leaders. I need more great human beings. That love message that you preached, if we just figured out how to love more, guess what? Then if I see love coming off somebody, I want to make them a leader. I want to develop that person into lead. You know, it's amazing because I've been so convicted so many times. I always say, I want to change the world. I want to be a lion chaser. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I'm forgetting, man, why don't I just be the best dad today? Why don't I be the best dad right now while my kids are jumping on me? Why don't I be the best in the moment? Instead of me trying to change the world, let me change. I got two worlds at home that I'm coaching every single day that are looking to their daddy. I got a wife at home that I'm coaching because I'm the head, not the tail. That God's put the weight on me to lead my family. Yet I'm out here saying I'm going to change the world. And listen, I'm going to, but let me start at home first. Let me look at my own disciplines. You know, if your axe is dull, that's where the problem starts. So why don't we just go to the dull axe? Because I know what's my axe is, it's my family. That's legacy. Do you know that what we do with our family goes three generations minimum deep? What my wife and I do for my kids is three generations exposed. If you want to know why the devil goes after marriage, he knows he can mess up three generations. So why not just mess up a marriage? You know, I was always this goal setter. I'm going to crush this. I'm going to crush that. Beast mode on my phone. And then God was working on me. Be still. Sharpen your axe. You know, the one thing I learned is I can't chop down the tree and sharpen my axe at the same time. I actually have to stop and sharpen my axe. So I look at the scripture and it says, more strength is needed if you're dull. So are you working really hard and don't see the progress in your marriage? You know, I want to read this text. My buddy said to me, he goes, Matt, I've never known you to miss in a meeting with somebody of importance. I was very involved with politics. I'd never not show up to a political meeting. I meet with attorneys all the time. I would never not show up, or I wouldn't show up late to meet with an attorney. Yet I was blowing my wife up all the time. Because guess what? I'm providing for my family. Made sense. Here I am, moving this around, that around. We'll do date night next night. We'll do it Friday. Thursday night, babe, is important. I got this meeting. I couldn't, you know. Our coffee break agenda, babe. We can do it another night. We can do it another day. I got this other meeting. I got this. Everything else was more important until my buddy looked at me and he goes, hey, man, I read your core values and your statement. You said family's everything. I said, oh, man, family's everything. Legacy, man. And he goes, why don't you start getting congruent? He says, the level of incongruency in your life will be the level of destruction in your life. I'm like, man, what are you talking about? He goes, bro, you say it, but you're not living it. He goes, what's the most important meeting of your week? And I said, oh, sugar. My wife, huh? And he goes, yep. And he goes, yep, the most immediate, your business is your marriage. Yet you're reading every business success book on everything else. You're going to crush the marketplace. You're going to do this. You're going to be a legend in your field. Yet your core values, your family, and you keep blowing those meetings off. In a moment, I said, I'm never missing another coffee break agenda with my wife. In a moment, I just put every one of my friends on notice. Thursday night's my date night. Don't call me. It's amazing what happens in a marriage when you make it the priority. Guess what my kids see? They know on Thursday nights they got a nanny. They're pumped. My daughter knows I'm dating my mom, her mom, not my mom. John, don't worry. John, it might seem like that, but it's not true. It's not even Freudian. Don't go there. All right. Business has a strategy. Marketplace has a strategy. I want all you to sharpen your axe in your business, in your world, in your entrepreneurship, in everything. But your marriage needs to be number one. We have three generations. You know why it needs to be number one? That's how you impact the world. That's how people start looking at you. I'm going to read this because my buddy Garrett Gunderson, he's the financial advisor to some of the biggest names that you and me all know of right now. But he was this young guy, financial planner, flying around in his G5, had his two other partners, living life, married, two kids. And he woke up one day and he felt like the Holy Spirit told him, Christian dude, said, you don't need to go to that meeting today. Spend time with your family, which he wasn't at the time. But he said, all right, I will. I've been neglecting my family. I've been gone a lot. And what happened was, it was amazing. Let me find this text, because I texted him last night because I wanted to get the facts straight. His partners went on that G5 and never came home. They hit a mountain. And he knew right there. Rattled them. And he got very introspective and he realized, man, my legacy, my family is the most important thing. And he goes, my marriage sucks. And he made this declaration. He said, because I texted him last night, I said, what was that declaration you made years ago that changed everything? And he said, I'm going to be the most extraordinary husband and a premier romantic so other people ask me how I did it. an extraordinary husband and a premier romantic, because he wasn't romantic, he was a numbers guy. But in a moment, he grabbed his axe and he started sharpening it. In a moment. And I said, I remember you did some of the stuff, and I can give you guys the link to all of it, but he inspired me. Because I only know him on the other side of this. I see this epic love affair that he has with his bride. And I said, so what did you do? And he goes, I earned a point every day, one act to advance our relationship. I wrote probably 100 cards in 1 year. I always had a killer trip on the books. I rented a date night apartment, and we did cooking and had candles, red painted the wall, John Butcher, who's another friend of our style, pics of myself everywhere, looking sexy for my wife. Trip to Europe every year, a gift before every date night, mostly picture frames with epic moments from our past. They were high school sweethearts. Weekly meetings with her for our business to preserve all other interactions, not to be clouded from those non-romantic items. I took a day off, any day beyond 4 nights away from my family a month, 14 to 28 overnight days per year, already pre-booked without the kids. We love comedy and concerts, so short getaways and amazing shows. We read lots of books to get date night ideas to be a better husband. I did everything. I've only seen him on the side where I see the epic love affair. I didn't know the work he put in to save a marriage that was on its last thread. But it's amazing. We'll do everything we can to save a business. We'll do everything we can to get a job promotion. We'll go get skilled at this latest technique, this latest seminar, this latest thing for our business. But what are we doing for our family? We got it flipped upside down. The devil's done everything he can to get us in performance, into business, into the world. But I'm telling you, how do you take the world? You be the light of the world and show everybody what an epic love affair is, what an epic marriage is. And I always ask people, like, man, do you guys have epic love affairs? And I do see people here and there, but you know what's so funny? It's like they hide that candle. Yeah. Man, you lift that handle proud. Yeah. Man, we'll live out loud. Sure, we have our fights. She's just sharpening her axe on my grindstone. But what I'm saying is that passionate people are going to do that. Yeah. It's all right. I got Pastor Juergen and Leanne. We've shown up on a date night of theirs before and got counseling. We'll do whatever it takes. The problem is we let the pride get in front of us of letting anybody know that we have a problem. And then it eats away like cancer until we think the problem's too big. But that's just another lie from the enemy. I'll wrap it by saying this. I don't want you to work harder. I want you to take time to sharpen it. Our coffee break agenda, do we have a picture of that? Man, I'll give it to everybody. This is what I do every single Tuesday at 8:30 at Nutmeg. Don't come stalk me there. That's our private place. But we meet and we go through these topics every single time. We talk about the real stuff. Do you feel adored and loved up? What are you looking forward to this week? Are we spending enough quality time together? Is there enough gourmet? Areas of improvement. So she, last night, I think she gave me a 1. But she can't leave me at a 1. What do I need to go from a 1 to a 10? What things do I need to do? We'll talk about our argument on Tuesday. We're not afraid to go there. I have accountability partners. I'm not afraid to go there. I'm not let the devil use any tool against me. I will equip myself. I will arm myself. I will do whatever it takes to make sure my marriage is the most important thing. It's a touchy subject. But it's amazing. Why can't we all do it together? Sure, is there going to be dark spots that are going to get exposed and it's going to hurt? There will be. But it's okay. We'll see you through. That's why we have pastoral care at every campus. Do you know that? Who are the 3 couples that inspire you right now in their marriage? If you don't have 3, you better make it your number one effort over the next 6 months to find 3 couples, and you start digging for gold. Pastor Juergen and Leanne are mine. John and Missy Butcher, another couple. And Garrett and Carrie Gunderson, I've always respected. the work that he's put in. He's the one that taught me about the Coffee Break Marriage Agenda. I give it out as much as possible. I don't care how successful a person is, if they're willing to lose everything over money. It doesn't impress me. What does impress me is someone that's willing to put hard work in. The minute they confess they're struggling, I already got mad respect for that person. Because you know how hard it was for a man to confess they're struggling at something? It's the number one thing that the devil will use. Hence, the last thing that the Lord tells us in Ecclesiastes 10:10, but wisdom brings success. With the mind of Christ, you and I are structured for success. That's why knowing Jesus isn't one thing, it's everything. He gives you the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit is going to give you wisdom. Ephesians 6:12, we are not fighting against humans. We are fighting against forces and authorities, against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. If you don't know how to pray, you're getting a beat down. I'd ask the question, what are some of the structures in my life that are structuring me for failure? And what are the structures that are structures for me for success? I want to put the ones for success in my life. Fear of failure is the number one thing men go through. It's the number one thing we all face as men. We want to be the provider. We want to pretend we're strong, but I love, love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Whole sermon on it at the 9 a.m. But I leave you with this. God is with you. God is for you. God is equipping you. He's giving you an axe. He's asking you to sharpen it today. If you're married, sharpen it for your wife or your spouse, if you're the woman. And young people that are single, just work on yourself every day. There's tools, resources. It's amazing how many people that you say marriage counseling, they get like, oh, I'm too good for that. Really? We'll pre-book 4 times a year. You know, stuff always comes up. It's amazing. Thought I was perfect last quarter. Nope. Having an epic marriage, you're contributing to the world. Just got to sharpen that axe. So in closing, there's 3 groups of people. There's just 3 groups of us. It's not that hard. You don't know Jesus, and you want to put Jesus, you want to know who your personal Savior is. The second group is you know Jesus, but you've been doing it your own way. You've been clinging that axe against something that's not a tree, or it's just dull and you don't know how to sharpen it. So you know Jesus back in the center. So I'm just going to ask you so I can pray for you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let me lead you through this. I need Jesus every day, I'm telling you what. I was a Christian my whole life, but Jesus wasn't in the center of it. It wasn't until I found C3, I had to come to Jesus moment realizing that it was Matt Hubbard running the show with a really good head knowledge of the Bible. But I bowed a knee and let God get in my heart and start to speak to me and give me wisdom and discernment. I saw everything change in a moment, in one weekend. I think my mom was so shocked, she can confess it, she flew down for the next service. She was so shocked, she flew down 3 weeks later for another service. She was so shocked that she was actually sending checks for this ministry that I never knew about to tithe because she was so worried about her boy. My mom was sharpening the axe against the enemy that had her boy. So if you don't know Jesus, or you once accepted Jesus in your life, but you took it back, I just want you to raise your hand right now so I can pray for you. All over this building, come on. Thank you, I see your hand. I see your hand, young lady. I see your hand up there. Right now, this is where we sharpen our axe. Up there, I see your hand. Come on. Thank you, Lord. I'm just gonna wait just 30 more seconds if there's anybody else that I can pray for. Come on, this is the most important thing we could do. We can't get our marriage right on our own. If there's anybody else, just slip that hand up so I can just pray for you right now. I see your hand, young lady. You can put it down. hand up top. I see your hand. I see your hands up there. Come on. Thank you, Lord. It all matters. We just sit in your presence, Lord. I see your hand, young lady. So every one of you that raised your hand, if you could lift it high one more time so I can make sure. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Come on, anybody else? Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. Good, you can put your hands down. Thank you, Lord. Listen, we're going to walk you through a prayer right now. The whole church, let's stand to our feet and we're going to pray real quick. And I'm going to do one last thing because it's important. And after last night, I'm doing it no matter what. But I want to pray this prayer. And we're all going to do it. We're going to repeat this. I mean, I've done it 400 times. Minimum. At least. Yeah, not a day, but I'll probably get there. So let's pray this prayer. Jesus, I want to know you. I give you my heart. I give you my mind. I ask for wisdom, the skills to be that man or woman you have called me to be. Forgive me. Fill me afresh. I recognize you died for me. You were sent to that cross. You took my sins. I receive your free gift, the gift of eternity. God, I give you honor. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give it up for all those people that raised their hand. Come on. I'm going to ask my ministry team to come down here. So this is a ministry team. Any one of you that raised your hand, listen, we have an altar call room. I have this amazing Emerge Captain Stud right here with two free gifts, a Bible and a book. I want to make sure every one of you get equipped. I don't want you to leave here without getting that stuff. We want to pray for you, get your details, find you a home church if you're not from here, one that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit, that miracles are for today, because some marriages need a miracle. So don't leave here without getting equipped with those books. You can come down after service. We'll meet you. We'll be in the lobby, altar call room. We'll pray for you, whatever. We want to look after you. But the last thing that I want to do, I'm going to have my ministry team step right up here. Anybody that needs prayer for your marriage, any of you that are single just need prayer for a mindset that needs to change. Maybe the heart's not right. I'm telling you, this is called the altar for a reason. You know why? This is where God alters your life. You know what keeps you in the seat? Pride. And the devil will get in your ear right now. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do, what you think of yourself, you break it. The minute you step out of your seat, you're never the same, because you just broke the voice right now that's whispering you, saying, don't go down there, you look like an idiot. Listen, if it comes to marriage, we'll look a whole lot worse in divorce court. Looks a whole lot worse for our kids. Looks a whole lot worse for a lot of other reasons. Who gives a rip what coming out of your seat, coming to get prayer is? I want to be equipped to sharpen my axe, but sometimes there's some people in here that need to get their axe back. So if that's you, I'm just going to say a prayer. You can come down and let the worship team take this over.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.